Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in and pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. It's weird. I can't see you now.
Where'd I know. It is really weird. Well, I swear I waved, but... So this is the Gamers Inn. I am Jocelyn. That's Ryan, as I mentioned off the top of the show. And we thought we'd just give you a really quick intro of... who we are and what our show's about, since we are new to A-Move TV as of tonight. Very exciting time. So here at the Gamers Inn, we usually give a really quick intro, what we've been doing, you know, this week kind of thing, and what's new with us, and then we jump into everything we've been playing for the last week. Then we do really, really quick news segments, basically anything that we thought was worthy of mentioning, but not necessarily worthy of diving into head first in terms of industry news over the last week. And then we have a topic. And that usually takes about 15 minutes at the end of the show. And it's just, you know, either a news story that we thought was worth mentioning or and actually diving into and talking about in detail, or something that has to do with the industry in general that may be making news that week or maybe just something that we want to talk about. So that's basically the show in a nutshell. Ryan, why don't you tell everybody just a quick intro about yourself and what kind of games you play and all that kind of stuff, and then we'll jump into our first segment.
Sure. I mean, well, my name's Ryan Murphy. I was born... I won't go into details, but...
Short, right.
Well, I mean, if you're new to the show, probably should get out of the way. I'm sure Jocelyn's going to rub it in anyways. I am a Nintendo person. I do own a Wii U. Please, don't stop listening. I do play Wii U games, but I play also other games. I have a PC, I have Xbox, and the PS3, although that's mainly a Netflix machine. Big Halo nut. What else is there to say, really?
Fair enough. So, I used to be a Nintendo nut. They've kind of disappointed me in the last little while, so I pretty much rib Ryan pretty hard, but I'm a PC Xbox gamer now, mostly. I've been getting into a lot of Blizzard games, which actually fits A-Move really, really well. Mm-hmm. Love Zelda franchises. I love, oh, Mass Effect. Oh. It's probably my favorite franchise of all time. So, yeah, that's pretty much me in a nutshell. We've been doing the show for about a year now, so we just switched over to A-Move. We were doing our own video thing on YouTube for a while, but I think this is a great fit. We definitely miss Twitch. We don't appreciate Google Plus Hangouts on air and all of the automated stuff that they do, but having control over our system is so much better.
So, that's very true.
I think that pretty much brings us into what we're playing. So, Ryan, what were you playing over the Christmas holidays?
I was playing Far Cry 3 over the break. Big open world game set in the jungle. You basically play what I feel are like characters out of 90210. It's weird. So when you start the game off, there's this like music video type scenario where your friends and whatever, like skydiving and everything, then it quickly transitions into you being held captive by this wonderful character named Voss, who is probably like one of my favorite characters this year. If you look up the intro to Far Cry 3, and if you want to see one of the most interesting, most insane characters to come out this year, like, Voss is him, and I guess the voice actor looks exactly like him, so it's actually really scary. And he's crazy. And the game quickly starts off with you leaving this camp and being shot at and everything. But it didn't quite hook me until about 4 or 5 hours into the game. I know it takes a while, and being an open world game, it can be really tough to get sucked in. And having to wait 4 to 5 hours is a long time to get sucked in. But as you move forward in the game, you quickly unlock these powers that make you a better killing machine, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Fair enough.
And you're constantly getting new powers for your character. And I sort of like shifted towards the silent but deadly, sort of like how people fart in cinemas, I suppose.
Nice.
Well, I mean, you know, that's how we work around here on the Gamers Inn. I'm just kidding. I don't want to give A-Move the bad impression here. Anyways, so one of the best parts about the game is you have to liberate these outposts throughout the game, and that basically affects the amount of enemies that spawn in a certain area of the map. So by taking over these outposts, you can do it in many different ways. You can do it by just run and gun, shoot everybody, kill everybody. You can be silent, kind of go around and silently killing people. You have a knife, basically, and you go in and you do, like, takedowns, I guess, for lack of a...
is crazy rogue moves?
Yeah, exactly. They're just, like, in stab, throw knife. And that just gets crazier as you go. Like, it starts off with just, you know, sneaking up behind someone and then, you know, the standard grab and stab.
Trademark.
Trademark. That's mine. That is not in the game. But, it quickly escalates to, like, you know, you can drag him. You pull the button and you can drag the guy away so the body doesn't get found by the bad guys, to, like, a point in the game where you can stab him, pull a pin on a grenade, and then kick the body into a group of other people. And it's just, first of all, like, they see this body fly out of nowhere and just land in between them, and that's enough to kind of spook them. But then it explodes and takes out all the bad guys, and it is one of the most satisfying things you can do in a video game. And I mean,
fair enough.
It's weird because the more I describe myself playing this game, the more I sound like an insane person. And I'm okay with that, you know?
I keep forgetting that you can't actually see me, so as I'm making all these hand gestures, you actually don't know what I'm talking about.
I'm just assuming you're flipping me off the whole time. She didn't deny it, folks. And that's an interesting little thing. But also, my favorite part about the outpost, I think I mentioned this last week, where there's a lot of bear things. Yeah, it's a jungle, right? So there's animals everywhere. But for some reason, these bad guys feel the need to throw an animal in a cage and put it right in the middle of the outpost. So I'm obviously going to shoot the cage and let the cheetah out, and the cheetah is going to kill all the people in the outpost. So it's one of the most satisfying ways to take over an outpost. And really, like, that's the best side part of the game. Like, being an open world game, there's a lot of side quests, tons of them. They all suck. You could say Far Cry.
Yeah, that was my least favorite part of pretty much everything I've ever played except Skyrim. Skyrim had great side quests, but
exactly
everything else always just seems to feel tacked on, like Kingdoms of Amalur. Mm.
Yeah, and again, like, it's easy to say this is Skyrim in a jungle, but it really isn't. I mean, it does combat better than Skyrim, mainly because it's easier to design, I guess. Like, it's shooting and stabbing, as opposed to Skyrim being first person magic and sword and melee. And I mean, I don't think the combat in Skyrim was ever something people enjoyed for the, like, a lot. Like,
it was an improvement, but yes. Like, on Oblivion and Morrowind, but it wasn't necessarily groundbreaking in terms of video games in general.
Yeah, exactly.
Except for the shouts, when you have the Kinect and you actually get to shout at your TV. I haven't experienced that, but I've seen videos of that, and it just makes me happy. Almost makes me want to go buy a Kinect.
I think they were $100 over the holidays.
Yeah, they were.
Not really worth... You could still shout at your TV and push the button, and it's sort of like the same thing.
Which I totally do all Good. The time.
I'm glad you did. And that, like I said, the side quests aren't really that great. Like, you'll walk up to it, like, a guy, and all of the villagers that you talk to for these side quests sound the same. Which, again, I guess in Skyrim, that sort of happens anyways, but that's not my main issue with it. Most of it is like, oh, you know, this temple used to be great. If you could find all the missing tablets, that'd be awesome. And they show you exactly where they are, and you pick them up, and it's just kind of boring. But the non-story side quests, like, drive this ATV from here to here, and, you know, you hit the points, and that doesn't sound very interesting, but first person driving is one of the most exhilarating things you can do. Like, one moment you're driving just fine and you say, hey, I'll just cut across this field, and all of a sudden the field turns into this giant cliff into a waterfall, and it's just like, and it's great. It, you usually die, but it's still a lot of fun. And the main story missions are actually really good. They're well designed, and mostly due to the fact that it's just, it's really not a serious game. And I know a lot of people have been saying that, like, it's not serious, it's kind of a jokey joke, poke fun at these, like, you know what it feels like? It feels like one of the good scary movies, if that if that's something I can say. Probably right. not. You ever see the scary movies?
Oh, the scary, like the not pun ones, yeah. but the funny ones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Making fun of Scream and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
So one of the good ones, I think there was only one.
Parody.
Good one. Yeah, parody. Not like, ooh, scary movie. No, like yeah. what, like the comedies.
The
and,
movie, scary movie.
Yeah, it feels like it's parodying like just, it's like that. It's hard to explain, but like the character's really over the top and, you know, one of your buddies
so
is
like
a.
It's like Saints Row 3, where everything's just crazy over the top and.
Yeah, blah. Not quite as over the top as Saints Row 3, but that's a great example. And it's if you just want to like get an idea, like YouTube, any moment where Voss is on screen, like, and he is just over the top and scary and just great. Just the way he talks to you is phenomenal. It's probably some of the best voice acting in a game this year. It's really unfortunate it came out so close to the end of the year because I really would have loved more time with it, but. Yeah, if you're into first-person shooters and you want to give this game a shot, like, it will consume you probably. But it takes a while to get into it. You kind of have to give it some time.
Fair enough. Mm. So I'm just going to talk very, very quickly about my WoW experience over the holidays because it was so much fun, and I'm really looking forward to hearing you talk about your next game that you played. So I don't want you to – I'm going to just totally let you go on and on and on about that game. I know it. So I'm just going to interject here with some WoW before we get going. But yeah, so I hit level 60, which means I get to fly, which is the most badass thing ever. I'm just like – running, and then I start casting my spell, and then as long as I time it right, I can kind of like do this crazy takeoff move all at the same time, and I'm just like, oh my god, I'm amazing. It just made, and oh, traveling so much faster. I don't have to worry about stupid alliance people trying to shoot me in the face because I'm way up there and they're way down there, and it's so good.
So what mount are you using?
Since I got my new system, I'm using the mount that I got when I did the Scroll of Resurrection for you, so the Celestial Wyvern mount,
cool.
which is pretty awesome. At first, I was so disappointed because on my old system, it looked like crap. It was like boxy, and it was just blue, and you could hardly even see through it, and I was just like, this is dumb. Why did I bug Ryan for like 8 months just for this stupid mount that I'm not even going to use? But it's like all I've been using because it's got this cool particle space dust effect and it looks like a constellation kind of now. And it just like I can see right through its head, but all its teeth are still white. So it's like I'm looking through its head, through its mouth. It's this crazy, creepy, weird experience, but so awesome. Like, I don't even know how much we played over the holidays, which we're going to talk about a little bit later, but like we went from level 52 to 60, I think, which is like really hardcore for me. I know it's not hardcore for everybody, but you know, like I was playing WoW once a week maybe, and we played like 8 hours a day every day.
Oh, wow.
It was amazing. Yeah, exactly. Wow.
Right. I walked right into that one.
You did. And so one thing that happened when we got to Outland is you get your first PvP quest, or at least the first PvP quest that I had picked up in the game. So it's not really that much, it's not that challenging because there's nobody there, right? Nobody else is at level 60 right now. So I kind of just ran around and got the three towers, and that wasn't such a big deal, except there was like a dungeon in the middle or something. So there was a night elf and another night elf druid, and I have no idea what level the second dude was, but the first dude I just kind of, well, first dude ran in, killed Joel, and then I was like, oh, there's a dude there. I'm going to kill him good. Revenge killing. And then so I killed him, and then his night elf druid friend came out dressed like a bear and was like, oh, can you kill my friend, eh? And there's just a little skull. So I'm like, I don't even know what level he was, but he just basically went, rawr, and then I died.
There's a there's a weird rule, I guess. Are you on an RP server or is it an RP
yes.
PvP?
I'm on Earthen Ring, so.
So it's just RP.
It's just RP, yeah.
Okay. You probably should have like slash bowed and tried to apologize. No, I'm just kidding. He probably would have killed you either way.
It was my first chance to kill a dude in the Alliance. I was like, I am going down swinging. I don't even care. But then he one-shotted me, so I wasn't really swinging. I was more standing there like this.
You may have got one in on the way down, but like...
I might have, but...
with the skull, I think that's like... there's a certain point, like, you can't see their level anymore. It might be 10 levels or 15.
I feel like it's 10 or 11, somewhere in there. But yeah, anyway, so they were more than that above me. So that was kind of disappointing because they were just camping at the entrance to the dungeon, which Joel and I shouldn't even have been at anyways. We just weren't really sure where the third tower was. So that's why we went there. But then, so the next day, because it's a daily quest, is to capture the three towers. So the next day I went back and there was someone leveling a panda that was doing the quest, but from the Alliance side. And so I was like, she was only level 58, so I knew she couldn't fly. So I was just like, I came in from above and I was just like, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Oh, she still doesn't see me. This is amazing. I'm going to land right behind her. And I was like, dunk, dunk, dunk with my arrows. And then choom, she was done. And I was like, yes. And then I flew away. And then I saw her come back and get her body. And I was like, well, I think I can kill her another couple times, but that would just be mean. So I'm going to let her finish her quest.
Well, that's not fun.
So I'm, yeah, the whole RP thing is a little bit lost on me. Well, not lost on me. Like, I mean, I do things like I won't kill Dragonhawks because I have a Dragonhawk pet. So, you know, like I get the whole, I have feelings for my character. I get the whole RP thing, but I find it so hard to be mean to other people that like I'm just like, oh, well, I know what she's doing there. And I don't really want to make her day awful because if someone was doing that to me, I would be very sad and I would just rage quit. So I'm going to be nice and just walk away and let her quest. But then I was running through the next area. And I took a wrong turn and ran right into a couple of Alliance guards who one-shot at me, which sucked. And then so I respawned. And then there was this, like, Alliance rogue dude who was, like, level 62 and I – or no, higher than that because I was level 60 by then. But he was, like, just so I could see his level. He was, like, 68 or 69 or something. And he was literally just camping there. And he just kept killing me over and over and over. And I was like – that's just mean. This is my main. I'm not as good as you, and I know that. You can stop now.
So you were flagged then, right? Like
as soon as you retaliate against a guard, which I did not even thinking, right? Is it just like, you know, arcane shot, you know, reflex. And so then you're flagged for 5 minutes. So I guess I probably could have just either respawned at the graveyard and waited the 5 minutes, or I could have, waited, because you get 6 minutes, I think, to run to your body. So, I mean, I probably could have waited the 5 minutes, but I'm not really sure how that timer works. So, I mean, it might be 5 minutes from when you recover your body. Anyways, the point is, I was still flagged, and I couldn't get rid of that flag, even though it was totally accidental. And so he just kept killing me, and I was like, I don't even think you're getting honor kill points for this anymore, which is something I have now. Honor kill points.
So, like, that's just your, like, a quick test of PvP. Do you think you'll do, like, have you ever queued for a battleground at all, or gone into one of those?
No, I haven't. I didn't really know that that was a thing. Like, I had heard of Battlegrounds, but I thought it was, like, raids, where it's, like, endgame, but it's not. So, no. I think that's something I might do, because I actually really, really, really liked PvP, especially when I won.
Well, they have, like, they have Capture the Flag and, you know, like, sort of a Capture the Zone type game that's a Wrathy Basin. And then you have, like, Capture the Flag is worse on Gulch. And they have some newer ones that involve, like, vehicular combat. I mean, that was after my that sort of stint.
After your time.
Yeah, I didn't want to say that. Back in my day, we only had Warsong Gulch and a thing called, I don't even know if they have Alterac Valley anymore, which was, like, this huge, I think it was, like, 40 on 40. Oh, my God, it's been so long. Anyways, PvP is a lot of fun if you just have to jump in and kill some time. But now with, like, Dungeon Finder and scenarios, if you're more into the PvE content, you have more options as opposed to before, when really the only way to quickly group up with people was to just jump into the PvP queue. And that was your best way to play with other players. But it's just evolved so much since then.
So, yeah, that's definitely something I'm going to do more of. And I'm kind of looking forward to, like, I've seen people who are way more into WoW and have been playing for years and years and years tweet about Battlegrounds and PvP and all that kind of stuff. And they're terrifying. Yeah. So part of me is really looking forward to, you know, doing the whole PvP thing and in a place where there's more people than just, you know, one at a time kind of one-on-one thing. But I find it very exhilarating, especially when I'm sitting there watching a timer as I'm capturing a tower and I'm just like, oh my God, someone needs to see me. Oh my God. And, you know, I'm looking all around all the time. And I mean, I can just feel my heart pounding and I'm like, someone's going to one-shot me.
Well,
it's
yeah.
Terrifying.
Just wait until.
In a good way. In exactly. A, like, this is exciting. And I find with questing in WoW, it's been getting a little bit repetitive. And when we got to Outland, we thought it would be really hard. And we got there when we were level 58, kind of as soon as you could possibly go in, we went in. And it's just so easy, especially with the two of us playing together. So I find PvP adds that extra little, like, zap back into WoW of where it's not fun again, because it's always been fun, but, you know, it's a challenge and it's exciting. So I love it. It's great.
Cool. That's good.
So do you think you're going to get back into WoW anytime soon?
I want to. I didn't get a chance to over the holidays, spoiler alert, but because I'm not going to talk about it in the first section, so that should probably give you an idea. I ran out of time these holidays.
Fair enough.
I want to, though.
So what did you have time to play over the holidays other than Far Cry 3?
A hell of a lot of Assassin's Creed.
Oh, I'm so excited to hear about this.
So I played through... I think I had finished Brotherhood the last we spoke, but I also played through Revelations and started 3.
Oh, so you started 3. You did?
No, I did not finish 3.
The way you have it written in the notes, I thought you played Brotherhood, Revelations, and 3, start to finish, all over the holidays. And I was like, wow, you're hardcore.
Well, the reason I didn't want to rush through 3, I did rush through Revelations. It's the only one I rushed through because I had purchased 3 and I wanted to get to it because I was excited, even though a lot of, like, it's been on a lot of, like, most disappointed lists, and you know, just I've heard a lot of negative talk about it. People super excited about the series just, like, not finishing it and putting it down and just not
I'm
even
kind
bothering.
Of afraid that that's what might happen with BioShock, because 1 and 2 were so good and 3 is such a departure from that world that I'm kind of worried that it's not going to be as great as I hope it's going to be. And I feel like maybe that's what happened with this one. Like, obviously I haven't played all of the Assassin's Creed games and I haven't touched 3, but it just, like, I mean, it's a different setting, different characters, it's all, you know, like, guns and stuff and, you know, American Revolution versus, like, you know, Italy, and I can see how people might be a little bit put off by that.
It's weird. I mean, so the first game was sort of its own thing, and 2 just kind of took it and ran with the idea, so people weren't really complaining when they played 2 because it was such a huge leap. And right. Brotherhood and Revelations are sort of in this trilogy where it includes Ezio as the main character, which is a great character and all that, but in all 3 games sort of felt like you were in the same area, even though you weren't. So I think that's more a testament to the designers that they were able to create a brand new game, a brand new area, without people feeling like they were lost. Like, you know, and I felt that. But with 3, it's totally, it's a new area. It feels like, even though you're, this is going to sound weird, but even though you're 300 or 200 years in the future, it feels like you're in the past in comparison to the Ezio trilogy.
Okay.
And that could be more because, you know, like, Italy's been around for, like, I guess 1,000 years, I don't know, historians.
For, like, ever.
For, historians, please do not, you know, I know that there have been people in North America for thousands of years, but the Italy sort of, like, Rome areas
Ryan
in...
does history.
Yeah. Getting lost here. This is
so
why
as hard as math.
This is why I play Assassin's Creed, so I can learn my history. And that's even a better point, is that these games are, like, they include characters that actually were historical figures, and you can actually go to Wikipedia and read about these people. And, you know, obviously the Assassin's Creed game aren't, like, historical fact, but, you know, I can have a conversation with
Wait,
Ben.
They're not?
No.
That's why I was I thought this was a history book, dude. What is going on?
There's no such thing as assassins and Templars that people would like you to know about.
I see.
Dig. The truth is out there.
Isn't that X-Files?
Nope. Pretty sure it's Assassin's Creed.
Gotcha.
But
so you're enjoying it overall, though. It's worth the. What did you tell us what you picked it up for? What was the price on your sale?
I got Revelations on Steam for $13, and then I got Assassin's Creed 3 on the Wii U for $40.
That's not too bad.
No, I mean, it was pretty much $40 across the board. I think I could have got it for like $30 on PC, but. Yeah, I wanted to try it on Wii U, and I'm starting to realize that even just on consoles, like, I miss playing PC games because they have the frame rate locked. So, like, you never notice a dip, and then you play on, like, a console. And I'm not saying this just because it's on Wii U. I've noticed this on my Xbox and PS3 as well, because I did play Brotherhood on the PS3. The frame rate sort of dips sometimes, but... Brotherhood, very similar to 2, enjoyed the heck out of it. It's a big game, as big as 2. Revelations, I felt, was smaller, and that's probably why I was able to get through it faster. And I have a really funny story. It's embarrassing, actually.
Tell it.
I did a lot of traveling. I know I have to, because I mentioned it on air. And I have props here for it, too. I did some traveling over the summer. Ugh, this cold is killing me. I did a lot of traveling over the holidays, and after driving like 2 hours back to Morton's Coffee, I couldn't sleep, so I stayed up and played some Revelations. And I was at a point where there are these outposts that you have to take back. And I didn't know how to like start the defense minigame. There's like a minigame you have to start, which is basically like a glorified tower defense game. But anyways, I couldn't figure out how to start it. So I'm like... Well, to capture it in the first place, I had to climb up the giant tower and hit a button to blow up the tower. So I tried doing that, and every time I did, the place was swarming with bad guys, so they just shoot me down. And I climb up, shut down, climb up, shut down, climb up, shut down, dead. And I'm like, oh my god! I was playing with a controller, and I just got so angry, and I didn't realize what I was doing, and I just turned and spiked the controller on the ground. And,
oh my god, that's amazing.
it busted the control stick really badly, if you can see that there. So it was broken at that point. The controller's broken. I'm like, I just turned this $14 game into a $90 game. So I'm going to put it in the garbage, and I'm still kind of fuming angry at this point. And as you'll notice, there's a concrete wall behind me, so I threw it up against the wall, and then that happened. So kind of just... So this is...
Oh my god, gamer rage!
I know, and I'm just like, I swear, I don't have any anger management issues, but I just figured I'd tell this story. And
your poor controller!
It had it coming. luckily, it is a, it had a long life. It's about a 6-year-old controller. Its control sticks were kind of going on it anyways. So to teach me a lesson... I went to EB and I'm like, I got to replace the controller or else this is going to just keep bugging me. And I asked them, okay, how much are your controllers? Like 60, they range from $60 to $70. Like super expensive. Controllers are outrageous and they're only going to get more expensive.
But you know, you can usually find if you go to like a Best Buy or Future Shop or something, not so much EB, but definitely Best Buy or Future Shop, they usually have like the limited one of a kind, like limited run type stuff. When they can't sell them all, like they had a Fable 3 controller that looked really cool. They had a Halo one. They had a Call of Duty. I can't remember if it was Modern Warfare or if it was Black Ops, but they usually have theme controllers anyways. And if they can't sell them all, they put them on stupid discounts because they're not the plain black or plain silvery white whatever that a regular controller is. So I mean, god, I think I saw the Fable 3 one for $14 or something once. So
what?
Yeah, stupid cheap if you don't mind having like a theme controller. I like the look of the Fable 3 one, but not everybody does. So
okay, you just made me feel worse.
Why, what did you go and spend $70?
Yeah, and I bought a themed one. I've been eyeing these Halo 4 controllers. So, they were never going to go on sale. I mean, Halo 4 was a much better game than Fable 3, so I'm not too worried about that. But no, I had to teach myself a lesson because, like, I just couldn't believe that I did it. As soon as I did it, I'm like, I just ruined this controller, and I've never done that. And I'm thinking, like, what if it had been my phone or, like, something even more expensive or, you know, the Wii U tablet. Like, that thing is irreplaceable, basically. Like, if you break it, you have to call Nintendo and wait 3 weeks.
I was going to say, you can't buy those separately in the store, right? Because there is no game that uses two of those gamepads, so...
Yeah.
I remember Nintendo saying that, me just being like,
oh. Yeah. So, and it's weird. I bought them. It's kind of, you know, you'd see through it, which I thought was funny. It's like, I've already seen the inside of these controllers. Why would I buy one that's see-through?
Because you smashed it to bits.
That's, I just,
like, should really.
No, I felt like I should have, I needed to learn my lesson. So, if you feel the need to throw controllers, have a big, I've actually heard this, people like who have problems with throwing controllers, they have like a giant pillow beside them whenever they play, so they can just slam the controller into a pillow. And I'm not that bad. I was just like, either I was really tired but hopped up on caffeine, so I probably should have like just tried to go to bed. But I swear I do not have anger management issues, but that happened.
Yeah, sure.
And
speaking of anger management issues, I got StarCraft 2 for Christmas.
Nice.
Which is so much fun. I played the first level of the campaign and then thought that I was just like, oh, I totally got this. Let's play multiplayer, Joel. And then he trounced me. And then so I was like, I don't know about this. Play again. And then so we played again. And he beat me again. But I scored twice the points. And then so I was like, I'm still getting beat. I don't like this. And, like, Joel is a StarCraft 2 player from, like, years ago. Like, or, well, I guess when it first came out, he played for, like, a year and was, you know, ranked and stuff. And wow. I don't quite get the whole ladder thing, but he's really good. I am not. But then, so we played one more match against each other, and he didn't know I was having a good time. He was just like, maybe we should stop. Are you sure you still want to play? I'm like, no, I have to play. I have to beat you. And I didn't. Mm-hmm. I came really, really close in the third game. But I underestimated myself. If I had gone at him when I wanted to go at him, I would have destroyed him. But I was just like, oh, well, if this is how far ahead I am, that's clearly like he's not that, or he's way more far ahead than I am. And, you know, he's just being nice. And so if I go over to his base, he's just going to wipe me out again. And that's going to be the game. And I'm going to be mad. So I hung back when I should have just gone. Rah!
So he was teching, I guess, the term. Teching? Does that not?
I have no idea.
That doesn't do anything for you?
No.
It's basically when he like just builds up. You know how you have to like build up to second tier and third tier and stuff to get higher power units? Sometimes people will not build any first tier units, like Marines, I guess. They'll just go straight to like the battleships and like try to get there as fast as possible. So when they bring in five battleships,
he had a pretty good mix of guys. It's just that like I was just assuming he was way, way far ahead because I didn't know what I was doing. And I found I was wasting a lot of time, which, you know, obviously time is everything in StarCraft. So I was wasting a lot of time reading all the tooltips because I've only played the first level of the campaign. So I know I have Marines and that's it. And I didn't have to build a base or anything. I just, you know, in the first level, you literally just go around this little snaky kind of path and then you destroy a bunch of stuff with your Marines and that's it. And you have to, like, basically make sure you don't die. And that's your intro to StarCraft 2. So I played that and then went, multiplayer! No.
You two should have done, like, a comp stomp.
Well, we did. That was the next thing that we did. Well, we went, me and him against two medium computers and died. And then, so...
That's not a comp stomp.
And then, so, we did the two of us against one hard computer. And that went better. And I outscored him. It was me and then him and then the computer. And I was like, yes, suck it. I win. Even though we were being all, you know, co-op-y, but I still won. And that's where we left it. And I think it's a good thing because he's not used to competitive Jocelyn. Any game that we've ever played has been with each other. This is the first time we were going like head to head. And he was just like, I don't even think she's having fun. And I'm like, oh, I'm having fun. This is amazing. Except you don't play StarCraft with a controller. So pretend I'm not making this hand motion.
I am already doing that.
Yeah. So, but it was so much fun. And I can see how people get totally addicted. And I was explaining the game to my mom because I was telling Mom, what awesome Christmas gifts I got from Joel. And so I was telling her about this game, and she's like, wait, there's a ladder? And it's like, it resets. And I'm like telling her all these things about how competitive it is and how awesome it is. And she's just like, does he never want to see you again? And I was like, aw, it's so true. And she's like, and God help the person who resets the ladder when you're at the top. I was like, thanks, Mom. Making me look like such a great person right now.
Yeah. She's only mean and and negative when she's playing video games.
Exactly. Yeah. It's an outlet.
Yeah.
So that brings me to what else I got for Christmas, which it actually arrived 4 days early and got here on Christmas Eve, which is the most exciting thing ever. I got my new doghouse, which is what we are currently streaming on.
Ooh.
It is awesome. It boots Windows in 10 seconds flat. It's like, I click things and things happen, except for apparently your sound earlier in the show. But that was not me. That was your mic.
Yeah.
But it's awesome. Everything I throw at it, it's just like, oh, interesting. Whereas my old computer was like, must run program. Yeah, exactly. So I absolutely love it. The guys at Doghouse were fantastic. So if you want to be just like me and have your very own Doghouse computer, you can go to doghousesystems.com and use the code THEGAMERSIN when ordering your new computer to show your love of all things TGI. Also, it will give you double the RAM for free. So 4 gigs becomes 8, and 8 becomes 16, but 16 does not become 32 because they don't do that because, yeah.
That's too many gigs.
That is too many of the RAMs. Mm. So a big thank you to Doghouse for their continued support of our show, which brings us to our next segment, which is Quickfire News. Go, Ryan, go!
Quick. Ubisoft Motion Pictures not just around for licensing. Chief Executive Jean-Julien Baronet, that's too French, told the LA Times that his company is around to ensure that films based on Ubisoft brands are neither poor adaptations of the source material nor poor films. And the company is doing that by taking an active role in the creative process. Baronet himself is intimately involved in casting, script, and filmmaking decisions, which a lot of gamers have stated is exactly what is needed to create the perfect video game movie. Currently, the company has a number of agreements in place for film and TV adaptations of Ubisoft franchises, including Assassin's Creed, Splinter Cell, Ghost Recon, and Rabbids.
MMOs are battling it out with free trials and early access. Blizzard is offering 10 days of level 85 to 90 play for free if you're returning to the World of Warcraft, so that is the Mists of Pandaria expansion. They are also offering a free 10-day trial of Cataclysm if you're new to that expansion. Shortly after this was announced, SWTOR comes out swinging. If you pre-order their Rise of the Hut Cartel expansion before January 7th, you'll get 5 days of early access to the content. Rise of the Hut Cartel will set you back $20, where Cataclysm is going to cost you, I don't know because I forgot to put it up because I totally forgot that I left blanks in my quick news, so I'm pretty sure Cataclysm is somewhere around $15 and Mists, I think, is $35 or $40, assuming you have the prerequisite titles in the WoW series.
Alan Wake Dev teases 2013 reveal. 2013 is wildly expected to be an amazing year of new announcements, and Remedy is joining in on the fun. On the official Alan Wake Facebook page, a post reads, "Even greater Remedy news to come in 2013. Most are speculating this will be a proper sequel to Alan Wake, and Remedy is no stranger to hinting at just that. I guess we'll just have to wait and see."
The War Z gets hacked multiple times. A couple of weeks ago, we mentioned the War Z getting yanked from Steam for misleading players in its game description, noting features that were not actually available yet. Now, gamers are taking revenge. The War Z has been targeted multiple times in the last few days by DDoS attacks on their login servers. As of right now, the issues seem to be mostly fixed, except for players who purchased through Steam before the game was pulled. And the moral of the story is, Don't go up against gamer geeks when money is on the line. I forgot a word there. Jeez, I shouldn't write these when tired.
New Tomb Raider will have multiplayer. Normally, we would scoff at the fact that a primarily single-player focused franchise will have a multiplayer offering in its newest release. However, with the pleasant surprise that is Mass Effect 3 and its multiplayer, I will remain cautiously optimistic. The team behind Deus Ex Human Revolution and Thief 4 at Eidos Montreal have been developing the mode, while Crystal Dynamics' focus has been on the single-player portion. More details are expected this month at CES, so stay tuned.
Zynga and EA are pulling games off Facebook. 11 Zynga titles, including Petville, Mafia Wars 2, Forestville, Vampire Wars, and Indiana Jones Adventure World, have officially been taken off Facebook, leaving only messages redirecting people to other Zynga titles. I would be super pissed if I spent real money to build a pet house or whatever you do in Petville, and then one day there was just a message telling me that I should go farm corn. They aren't the only ones pulling out of Facebook, though, as EA is also shutting down some of its social titles, like World Series Superstars and EA Sports PGA Tour Golf. Interestingly, EA is not pulling The Sims Social off Facebook, but The Ville is on Zynga's chopping block.
Not Adventure World. So sad. Fez coming to other platforms in 2013. It has been an interesting year for Phil Fish and his company, Polytron. In a recent blog post on the website, Fish reflected on the last year and gave a few tidbits on what to expect in 2013 from the company. First off, Fez will be ported to other platforms. Yay! No specifics were given on which platforms or timelines, but it's a safe bet to expect PC. Fish also mentions doing something interesting with the soundtrack and the possibility of a US branch.
I love the soundtrack.
It's so good.
Angry Birds sells 30 million copies over Christmas. The 30 million downloads happened the week between December 22nd and the 29th, with 8 million downloads coming on Christmas Day alone. There's no breakdown by device or by game, but Rovio did say that Angry Birds Star Wars has occupied the top spot in the US iTunes chart since its release November 8th. I will admit, I was curious about Angry Birds Star Wars, so I downloaded the free version. But it's just as frustrating as all the other Angry Birds games. And it seems that one out of every two new smartphones that were activated over Christmas also downloaded Angry Birds. I must just be missing something. Which brings us to our topic this week. What kind of gaming did you do over the holidays, Ryan?
Oh, well, you know, it's weird. I think the reason I didn't play a lot of the games I wanted to was because they were primarily, like, single-player, Ryan is playing his video games, leave me alone games. And because I had obviously Ashley was here from time to time. She only worked a few days, but also Ashley's younger sister was over a lot, and we were playing, like, we played, well, first of all, we were at family events, and every family event we were at, they were playing Just Dance. So
whipped out the Super Nintendo for our family Christmas, and we played old school Mario Kart, and nice. We played Mario All-Stars. It was super fun, especially with all the smack talk going on between myself and Joel's stepdad. It was awesome.
So were you playing, like, is it, you can only play two-player, like, race against each other, right?
Yeah, or you could do the Grand Prix, which is the two of you with everybody else. So I asked him, I'm like, do you want to go head-to-head, or do you want to, like, throw some other people in the mix and stuff? He's like, no, I don't like racing games. Let's just keep it to the two of us. And I was like, okay. And I was still like, zoom, zoom, zoom. And he's like, which one's the go button again? How do I steer this? Thunk, 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 thunk. It was awesome.
But he was probably better at All-Stars, right?
Well, yeah, because he used to put, like, he had played Mario back when it first came out, so, but it was really funny because it took him a long time to catch on, so he played the same level, like, over and over and over again, and at one point he was like, oh, I think I'm getting better at this. I'm like, well, yeah, you've played the level 12 times.
He just kept dying.
He did, yeah. Oh, but it was fun. We had a great time together, so yeah, that's, it was good. Great. So, sorry, you were saying?
No, I was just saying that, you know, whenever we were at, like, family events, they all had a Wii, and they all play this Just Dance game. I don't own Just Dance. There's not that there's anything wrong with that. I gotta say, for, you know, Ubisoft puts out Just Dance every year, a new one, and they sell like hotcakes for a good reason. They actually, they're pretty decent dancing games. Like, you can be good at that game without even trying, or you can be good at that game and just dance like a
bust
drunk
a move.
Person. Because there's a lot of drunk people playing this. I'm not gonna lie.
You would have to be, I would think.
What? No, I was sober the entire week. And I'm not being sarcastic. I was driving a lot, so I was I was the DD. But there were some drunk parents who, after a couple of drinks, you were able to throw the controller in their hands and they actually danced. So that was entertaining.
That's fun.
And, you know, it's just, and then they got the new one for Christmas Day, and I'm like, well, let's give it a shot. And like I said, like, they're little kids, so they can, like, do all the moves without hurting themselves. Whereas I'm just, like, you know, kind of moving my hand and maybe twitching my leg from time to time. Nice. It was interesting. I don't think I'd ever buy it, but I can see the appeal for sure. Nice. Oh, plus I danced Gangnam Style, so that was fun.
Oh yeah, I read that was part of the Just Dance playlist.
We had to buy it.
I don't
it.
Know what you call it. Lineup?
No, well, but either would work. But we had to buy it. Like, we went into the store, and
oh
I'm
my
like,
God, you paid money for that?
I didn't. They did. Like I said, not my game. I think maybe I gave them points for Christmas last year and they had some left over. So I guess maybe technically I bought it, but It was worth
it. Gangnam Style. It's fine.
It's all right. It's a great song that I play, like, on average, 0 times a day. I heard that.
So, you mentioned some of the games that you had that you wanted to play over the holidays that you didn't actually get a chance to, and that was because they were more single-player stuff. So, is that some stuff that you picked up on Steam, or what?
Yeah, I picked up a few titles on Steam. I wanted to try Dishonored, and I never got a shot at it. So, that was weird, because I really was really hoping to try Dishonored. But I did try Lord of the Rings Lego.
I never did get Lego Lord of the Rings. I missed the $10 sale, and then every other time I saw it, it was like $5 off or something. And I was like, but you were like 60% off, and I missed you. So I just, it's like now I just have this like brain block when it comes to Lego Lord of the Rings. I'm like, it's $10 or bust.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I see it go on again, I'll let you know. But yeah. I played a little co-op, and for a game you think is sort of geared towards kids, it sure doesn't guide you. Like, we were getting lost, like, constantly. Like, it's just...
Right, because it's the first open-world Lego, right?
Maybe. I don't know. It felt open-world. Like, they sort of throw you into the Shire, and it's like, they don't even tell you what you need to do. It's sort of like, you explore, and then it's like, oh, okay, here's where I need to go next, and it starts the next story scene, and... I mean, there's something really awesome about, like, the scenes being recreated in Lego actual voices, and still, like, they sort of, like, mess with canon by, say, making, you know, I can't really think of an example right now, but, you know, something would happen in the background that totally would not happen in the movies, right? Because it's, like, one of the hobbits, like, cooking something in the background and making, and then stepping in the fire and...
Setting himself on fire or something, yeah.
Just something totally ridiculous. It's
the
ridiculous.
Lego sense of humor that they've applied to Lord of the Rings that I think is going to be awesome. It was very similar in Harry Potter, especially with the years, I guess, 5 to 7. It's a very dark story, right? But they still have these like crazy bits of humor just thrown in the background. So
yeah, it's hammed up is how I like to put it.
Yes, yes. Did you find that the Steam sales were, in comparison to Black Friday, better, worse? Did you just buy everything on Black Friday, so you didn't really care about the December sales?
Well, I think the problem is I bought a lot of these things, like even prior to the sales, I bought them through Green Man Gaming at a decent percentage off. But then during the sales, they were even more off. So I kind of felt a little like, oh, you know, I should have waited. But yeah. I think this holiday sale has been fantastic. There's just been a lot of titles on sale, like just... crazy.
I found that there were, in terms of like versus the Black Friday sales, it was either all the same sales again or nothing I was really interested in. With the exception, I did get Black Ops 2 for like 20% off, which is huge because they never go on sale, like ever. So even like Modern Warfare 3 was only 30% off, and that's the Call of Duty title from a year and a bit ago. So, you know, I was impressed. I was like, wow, that's actually a sale I wasn't expecting to see. So they got me there. But then, like, there was, like I say, Borderlands was $30 and Dishonored was, I can't remember how much, but, you know, about 50%. And those are all the sales that they had on Black Friday. So I wasn't that impressed with the holiday sales. Not like I was with the Black Friday. Black Friday, I was like, oh my God, there's so many games. But I might have just bought everything I needed, so.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I picked up a couple smaller titles as well. I picked up I Am Alive, which I've been eyeing for a while. It's that post-apocalyptic game. And I didn't get a chance to play it. I don't think I played a lot of Steam games, to be honest. Just Assassin's Creed. But
I did pick up Bioshock for Joel. Because he really wanted to play it, because he wants to play through 1 and 2 and before I get 3. And that was $4 on Steam, I think, which is awesome. And then I got... Oh, I haven't bought it yet, but Amnesia is on for 75% off. It's been on for 50% off a whole bunch of times, but it was on for 75% off today, wow. So I might pick it up. Yeah, because I figure for $5, I have a feeling I'm not... Because that's the one you played during Extra Life, right? That was the scary game you played?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll be able to do that. That was terrifying. Because that's another one where you don't actually get a weapon, right?
Well, I mean, I can't remember. I don't think you get a weapon. You're encouraged to basically run away. I think it's less like Slender, where in Slender you're sort of like, you just run for your life. In this one, you can't just run for your life. You kind of have to run and hide. And then there's that tension of the bad guy walking beside you and not seeing you, sort of like thriller type stuff. But
right.
Yeah, definitely scary.
So did you get everything or anything you wanted for gaming this Christmas?
I did. I mentioned the eShop credit. I did get like $40 for the eShop. So I bought Ninja Gaiden, played it for an hour. And I like it. I like the game, but I just haven't had a chance. And it was interesting. Yeah. It took like, okay, the Wii U, it's great that you can buy games, full games on the system. That's really cool. I love it. However, it took like Steam. Okay, Steam has been really spoiling us, okay? You download a 6-gig game, it takes like an hour, and you're good to go. You're playing it in no time. On the Nintendo platform, it took like 3 hours to download, then an hour to install. It was crazy. And I'm like, I don't really kind of feel like playing this. Oh, I'll play. And I tap it. It's like, oh, now we got to update. Steam. Steam has ruined gaming for me. But yep,
totally.
Once I got around into the game and started playing it, it was still really cool that I didn't have to like go talk to some guy at EB and say, you know, give me Ninja Gaiden 3 for the Wii U. And it's like, do you have a Wii U? Yeah, it came out for like 6 months ago on 360. I'm sorry. For those who work at EB, I apologize. It's probably like one in like a million.
One in all of them, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. And then
I find that Steam totally ruined me because now that I have a computer that can actually kick the shit out of all of the, out of all of the graphics, like I'm just, oh man, it's awesome. I'm just like PC all the time, especially with my controller now.
You should definitely get all your games on PC now that you have a beefed up system because, like I was saying with Assassin's Creed, just the locked frame rate is fantastic. And games are always going to look better on your PC as long as your computer can handle the game. Like
that's true.
You can't argue with that.
Yeah, I also got, Joel was super awesome and bought me your biggest disappointment of 2012.
Oh.
I got SWTOR.
Someone didn't listen to our Game of the Year episode. No, I'm just kidding.
I believe it was purchased previous to that, but I'm looking forward to trying it, although I'm not 100% familiar with, apparently there's restrictions on their free-to-play. Hmm. You can play free-to-play, but like there's less classes open to you or something, and that's really lame. So if it's something where I have to have a subscription to unlock everything, then I'll probably just take SWTOR back and put it towards my BioShock pre-order or something. But
you didn't open
it, anything about it?
I was just going to say, if you opened it, you're not going to be able to take it back.
No, I didn't open it.
Oh, okay, good. Well, I figured you'd know that. Being a gamer and all, just tested. This subscription, I think it's class, race, combinations that are locked down. So you may be able to play a human smuggler, but you won't be able to play a Twi'lek smuggler. Is that a race? I'm not big on Star Wars. Sorry. I know there's like an alien that's blue and has the weird tentacle things coming out of his head. That is one of the races.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, there are, you might want to look up the race, sort of combinations that you can do because there are a lot of lockdowns. That would probably be the biggest one for
lame.
You.
Like you're either free or you're not.
Yeah. I think that's, they're sort of, it's weird. Like they're going to find that free to play isn't doing it a lot for them. And then they're like, okay, now we're even more free to play. Yeah. Now you can
now
play
we're
all
actually
the
free.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, like, I was looking on the website today to get the price of the expansion, and they're offering the expansion for half price if you're a subscriber, which I think that's awesome. I think subscriber bonuses are one thing. I think locking down functionality of your game, not cool.
So would it be cheaper for you to pay for a month and buy the expansion if you wanted it, or?
I don't know. Actually, I don't even know how much a month subscription of SWTOR is. I imagine there's no way it would be.
It would have to be on par with what WoW has. So I would probably
I would say it would have to be way lower considering everything you get for free. Like just to unlock a couple of race class combinations, that's not worth $15. That's not even worth $10 a month. I would say if it's not $5, then, you know, they're reaching.
It's $15. I remember paying $15 a month and I doubt it went down.
Oh, I think it was $15 before, but I'm saying with their new free to play model and their subscription, I would be really shocked if it was still a full $15 a month. That would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Hear me? I don't know. Hear me, SWTOR? Don't be ridiculous.
It can hear you and it's trying to get out of the shrink wrap so you can't take it back. That's what that sound is.
That would be so creepy if I went under the tree and my like just the corner was unwrapped on my Star Wars or something. I'd just be like, get this out of my house.
I don't care if I'm returning, I'm putting it in the garbage. It's haunted.
Haunted Swotor. Nice. Yeah. So I don't know, do you have anything else that you particularly wanted to talk about your gaming habits over the holidays?
I don't know. I that pretty much covers it, but I did get some sweet gaming stuff for Christmas. I got this from Ashley, two little action figures. She said she didn't get me anything to do with gaming, but then I had the Master Chief one before Christmas, and then she got me this one. She actually bought it before.
That's really sweet.
She bought it before I went and bought the Master Chief one, because I was going down the toy aisle looking for it constantly, like a 12-year-old. And she kept saying, like, okay, you buy this, and you're not allowed to go down there anymore. And I didn't even think about it, and I guess she was worried that I was going to ruin Christmas by buying toys that were...
already purchased. Well, you're not supposed to buy things for yourself before Christmas, which is I always get in crap from Joel, because especially when there's Steam sales, I just go on and I buy all the things, and I'm just like, but it's only $5, it's only $10. Yeah. He's just like, yeah, but it might be under the tree. Oh
yeah, I'm bad. And we went over this on our Christmas episode, like, I am the worst. Worst. There's a reason I got gift cards and awesome gifts, but just no games.
Yeah.
I mean, cookie crumbles, I suppose.
So that pretty much wraps up our show and brings us to the listener feedback section, although we don't have any this week other than quite a few Twitter messages congratulating us for our move to A Move, which, now that I play StarCraft, is a reference I totally get.
I don't get it. Explain it. I don't understand it.
It's the attack move. So
really?
Do the A move to,
oh my God,
to move and then attack. Oh.
How come that wasn't in the introduction to A-Move brochure we got when we joined?
I don't know.
So they better get on
They're slacking.
Like, where did I put that, actually? I'm at a loss.
So you can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com, where you can find our live feed. Actually, now our live feed is at A-Move. You can find our live chat and our forums. Email the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GISGamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. You can also find us on Facebook and Google+. And don't forget to leave us an iTunes review, as it's the best way for our show to reach new listeners. So before we go, I just want to give a quick shout out and thank you to my brother Greg for creating our awesome music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We would also like to thank Joel Duggan of StarCross Online, who drew our Twitter avatars and created our logo. You can find him on Twitter at Joel Duggan, or read his comic at StarCrossOnline.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember to tune in next week.
Bye, everybody. We're not doing that anymore. It's happening.
Maybe that's been the problem the whole time. That's why we don't agree, is because I can't tell the difference between awful and awesome.
Oh, TGI is here to save us. TGI.
Hi, TGI.
Save
us. Probably can't even hear us yet, but... Why would you change the control panel? Microsoft! I'm just going to say, screw you, Windows. I hate you. And moving on.
I have no idea what she's doing, but I'm going to assume it's
awesome. Oh my God, yeah, I forgot. I forgot you can't see it. That's actually really funny.
Did we do this?
Then we have quickfire news, and we're all done our quickfire news, because we're awesome.